Let's read Malachi 1:1-5. Malachi 1:1-5. If you downloaded the English outline from the website, you can also see the whole book of Malachi at the end of the outline. Amen. Amen. The Lord started by expressing his love to his people. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Verse 4. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Amen. Amen. This is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. What a beginning. I have loved you, says the Lord. This is wonderful. We should speak out this beginning every morning, every day. I have loved you, says the Lord. Amen. Especially when you're going through difficult times and it's not so easy. It is good and important to remember this, that he has loved us. And the love of God is really great. Let us read Romans 8. Romans 8, 38-39. This is what Paul said concerning the love of God. And he went through a lot. But there was one thing he was certain of. And this is so important. It's important to be certain concerning the love of God. Romans 8, 38-39. For I am persuaded. Are you also persuaded? Are you convinced? Fully convinced? I am fully convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. This is such an absolute statement. Yeah. Nothing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor valley, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. This is such a wonderful privilege to be loved by God in such a way. No one earned this. No one can explain it either, but it is his choice. His election. Let's also read Ephesians 2. What kind of people were we in Ephesians 2? In verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. We were all once in this world, in the world of sin. And we were even dead in trespasses and sins. We were in such a condition. All of us were in such a condition. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. We were not living for God at all, but we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, this is so strong. He loved us even before the world was created. He knew everything that would come. He knew even that man would fall into sin. He knew all the problems that would come. And still, he said he loved us before the foundation of the world. And the wonderful thing is that this love has never changed. Is this not glorious? Our love changes so quickly. If something happens, then the love diminishes. And if something else happens, then the love is gone. Maybe it'll come again, but with God, it's so wonderful. He says he loved us before the foundation of the world. And this love never ceased and never changed towards us. Thank you, Lord. I think we can only say, Father, we praise you, because none of us have earned it. How often is the Lord just somewhere in our lives? And then in Malachi, the Lord describes the condition of the people at that time. They were really deeply fallen. They weren't just fallen to a slight extent, but they were deeply fallen. And despite this, the first thing he says to his people is, I have loved you. And this sentence, this heart that God has for us, is what draws us again and again to turn back to him. This is the strongest thing that draws us back to him. I have loved you, says the Lord. May the Lord draw our hearts back to him. What we sang this morning, 248, came into my heart as I was praying for the meeting this morning. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you have to gain my heart fully for you. It's not so easy. It's not so easy for our hearts to be fully gained for the Lord. So now is the time to touch the love of God, to pursue it, and to make room for his love. This sentence, I have loved you, says the Lord, is not a sentence that it's something that we just read over, gloss over. But it should give us resonance. It should be a resonance in my heart, an echo in my heart. If my heart is healthy, I should echo this statement. And we shouldn't have this response, which is in Malachi 1:2. In what way have you loved us? The Lord's voice, or the tone that he used, was dear, was lovely. But the tone that was used by the children of Israel to respond to him was really crooked, was really off. And I don't want this type of response in my heart. I have loved you, says the Lord. And he wants to hear from us, and we love you too, and we love you with our best love. This is what the Lord wants to hear from us. I think all of us have loved the Lord at some point in our lives because the Lord saved us. And as he saved us, as he awakened us, who didn't love the Lord at that time? You realize everything else is just dung. And then the heart burns for the Lord. And the Lord enjoys this. But the Lord doesn't want to just hear from us that we have loved him or loved him at some point in time, but that we still love him with our best love. This is the desire of God. Otherwise, why would he begin with this sentence and this statement? This sentence expresses God's heart's desire so much. He wants to have a people who love him out of their whole heart. He wants his people to give him the best love. Of what use to priest? It does everything right, but the heart is somewhere else. Completely somewhere else. And that's what it was like when the Lord came the first time. He said what Isaiah said, that they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This happens over time. You know the outward things, and you get to know the scriptures, and you get used to it, accustomed to it. Where's the heart? The heart is somewhere else. This is worthless for the Lord. That's why this is the beginning of Malachi. And the time of preparation for the conference was a time of testing, examining for me, where is my heart? Yeah, what about the first and best love towards you? Because without it, everything else is worthless. What's the use of ministering as a priest if your love is not there? And if the best does not belong to the Lord anymore. If the Lord is not number one in my life and doesn't have the best love in my heart and the first one whom I think of and the last one whom I think of before I go to bed, then what's our experience? What do you think about the whole day? Do you think about what you like to do? That exposes what is in your heart. If the Lord is my number two, is that good enough? The Lord is my number two today. Then next week, he'll be number three on my list. And then soon he'll be number five. And then at one point in time, I'll just come on Sunday and do whatever I have to do. It happens more quickly than we think. I have to admit, before I prepare for a conference, I often realize, Lord, where is my heart? My heart is not absolutely with you. And it's actually a shame. It can't be like this. That's why every day we have to give our hearts anew to the Lord. It's not even one time a week or once a week, but every single day. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I have loved you, says the Lord.
Amen.
This is the response that the Lord should find in us. That he should have a people whose heart loves him completely. That he would have a people who says, and we have also loved you with our whole heart, with my whole, our whole soul, our whole mind, and our whole strength.
Amen.
For this, it's so important to turn again to the Lord. What's your sense? Do you think you need to turn back to the Lord or not? Well, when I was preparing, I had to cry out to the Lord. I told my wife after a certain point, I need some lozenges for my throat because it's not easy to keep our hearts and preserve our hearts for the Lord. It's not easy. For many years, we thought, oh, we're in a good condition. We're in a good church. It looks good. But as God wanted the offerings from us, then it was weariness for many people. Then it was too much for many of the saints. Where does this attitude come from? It comes from the fact that our heart has grown cold, that we're no longer burning for the Lord in the best way. Lord Jesus Christ, may the Lord really grant us grace to turn our hearts completely to Him. Yeah, and to turn our hearts anew to Him every day and completely anew to Him every day until He comes and the Lord is coming quickly. That's why we really need to turn to the Lord and to cry out to Him. Oh Lord. In Revelation, the Lord says, I have this against you, that you have left, not lost, but left your first love. It depends on me, on us. If you were to lose something, you can't do much for it. You didn't do something actively when you lose something. But if I throw my key into the bush or whatever, and I don't want my workplace to know that I lost the key to my office, then I didn't lose my keys. I left my keys. This is what it means to leave. And this is what the Lord said to His people in Revelation. And that's what happened to the priesthood here in Malachi. They said, well, in what way have you loved us? Oh, Lord, this is such a, this hurts for God. This must be a great pain for God to hear such a response. The Lord invests so much in us. He works so much in us. Look at how many years the Lord has been working on us. Sometimes we go away so far from Him and the Lord still brings us back. Sometimes we want to give up already and then the Lord still says, come on, get up again. Sometimes we're distracted and the Lord chases us. This love of God also continues His chastening, because otherwise it's not possible to stay on the way. Let's read Hebrews 12. It's good to experience this love of God more. In verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Yeah, they grew weary. We often grow weary. Flesh, the sin, can also make us weary to resist against it, to strive against it. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Amen. If the Lord says, don't do this, don't love the world, leave this habit. Is it too much for me after a certain point in time? But this is actually a comfort because the Lord is still working on us. Because praise the Lord. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Hallelujah. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Amen. If the Lord doesn't bring us back, and if He had given up on us or were to give up on us, then it's really over. And this is horrible to see. But whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's really not easy, but it's good to remember that God deals with us. He works in us, and he deals with us as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Thankful, Lord. Now he's dealing with us as the priesthood, and that's why we're going through Malachi, because as his priesthood, he wants to perfect us. And that's why we are now reading the book of Malachi. It's not a book for the beginning. It's a book to bring us to the goal. And that's why it's good to accept the chastening of the Lord, which he does in love. And back to Malachi, it says, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
Amen.
This is the reasoning of God. He went back to Jacob, to the very beginning, to the beginning of the children of Israel. He says, Jacob I have loved. If we look at the life of Jacob, then maybe you wouldn't really recognize God's love. He had to run away from home because his brother wanted to kill him. Is that the love of God? And for 20 years, he was in a foreign land. And when he came back, he was so scared to meet his brother again. And then many things happened. His wife died. His sons did horrible things. And the whole city had to be judged. It was not an easy life. But the Lord really made him to a prince. He made him to Israel. And this is the goal that God had. Regardless of where we came from, he wants to make us king. This is so wonderful. I have loved Jacob. Jacob, even though his name means the deceiver, it's in a way, it's not a good name. I wouldn't give my child this name. What's your name? Deceiver. But that's how he was. That's how he was when he came out of the mother's womb. He already held on to the heel of his brother. The good thing is, even though he was called the deceiver, where did he deceive, or where did he really want something? It was when it pertained to the things of God, and that is what was precious. And that's why God loved Jacob. He loved him so much because he was always there when it pertained to the things of God. He wanted the birthright. He was the second. He wasn't the first. Of course, naturally speaking, it didn't belong to him. But did he give up? No, he wanted it. And this is so good. God loves such an attitude. In our nature, we're children of wrath, but we want to belong to the Lord. We want to be priests of the Lord. The Lord doesn't look at everything that we are lacking, but he looks at our willingness. And when it pertained to the blessing, or when it came to the blessing, and his father already blessed Esau, did Jacob say, oh, too bad? No, he still did everything to receive the blessing. Isn't this wonderful? This is what God really loved. Actually, the blessing was already given away. Isaac already gave it to Esau. Go get the game, go hunt, and then I will give you the blessing. What kind of chance did Jacob really have to get the blessing? But even his mother wanted the right thing for Jacob. And even the father spoke in such a way, Jacob wanted the blessing. And it is so good if we are such who want to have the blessing of God. This is what the Lord treasures. And that's why he says, Jacob, I have loved. But Esau, I have hated. What did Esau think about his birthright? He had it in his hand. He despised it. He counted it as nothing. And this is the fallen man. This old man, this fallen soul life, despises the things of God. And if this comes up in our hearts, then God says, I hate this. And so it's good if we also say, I hate this. Everything in me that rises up and despises the great reward to rule with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth and to want to sell this for anything, we have to say, I hate Esau. Esau, I have hated. I don't want to let myself be robbed by a hobby, from career goals, from some enjoyment, from some comfort in my life. It happens so quickly. Esau has many faces. He took this bowl of soup. And when he ate it, this huge portion that was already allotted to him, he lost it. He didn't even regret it. And as he went away, he had no sense of his foolishness. It didn't mean anything to him. And we have the Spirit who is willing in us. And the Spirit in us wants the blessing, but we also have the flesh. And the flesh despises the things of God. It's an enemy of the things of God. And that's why it's so important that we would have this attitude that God has. Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So that we would not lose our birthright, but that we would hold it, keep it until the Lord comes. Paul in Romans 8 said that the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Esau had the bowl of soup. But at the end, he had nothing. So the sufferings, this present time, cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. It is really worth it to suffer. It's worth it to go through things like Jacob went through things, but to receive the blessing. It's not worth it to eat a bowl of soup and then at the end to have nothing and to even have the curse. Jacob have I lost, but Esau I have hated. And where Jacob's name was changed to Israel, this says a lot about him. And I want to keep this in my heart. And this is in Genesis 32 when he wrestled with God. In verse 25, Genesis 32, 25. Sorry, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. He wrestled with God the whole night. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Amen. This is so wonderful. This attitude is what we need. We need it anew, day by day. And then he said, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, the Prince of God, for you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. When he was wrestling with God the whole night, at this point in time, he changed his name. Now you are Israel. Praise the Lord. Our fellowship with the Lord is also a wrestling. I don't know what your fellowship with the Lord is like. Half an hour of morning watch, 5 verses, we pray, read them, and you say amen, you close the Bible, and then the day begins. I think if our fellowship with the Lord looks like this, then it'll be really hard to become Israel. It's maybe good for a certain amount of time or period of time. But the time in which we are living, at the end of the age, it's a battle. It's not just going on a stroll or taking a stroll. We praise the Lord. He has given us a spirit of power. He has given us a willing spirit. And it is good to really wrestle with the Lord and to tell the Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Praise the Lord. We really want to be like Jacob, who really get the blessing of the Lord today and also when the Lord comes. And then the Lord blesses him in by changing his name. This spot is really an encouragement to wrestle with the Lord and until we break through to him so that the Lord can really bring us to the goal. The Lord is really close to us, or the Lord's coming is very near. And then what does the Lord say in verse 4 of Malachi 1? Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Esau also had an extension of his name, namely Edom. Where does the name Edom come from? He got this name when he took the bowl of soup. It's a warning for us. We have a choice. What kind of name change do you want? Do you want to wrestle with God and go from being Jacob to Israel? Or do you want to eat the bowl of soup and then turn from Esau to Edom? What do you guys want? What do you want? And in Genesis 25:30, it says, please feed me with that same red stew. This is the lust of the flesh. Please feed me with that same red stew. And the world has so much to offer us to just swallow. For I am weary. Yeah, when our soul is weary, we just eat what's offered to us. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And then Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Oh, Lord, praise the Lord. As I was preparing, I really saw, why did he love Jacob and why did he hate Esau? And then he also mentions Edom here. Yeah, let us not give room to our soul, to ourselves, not only not to our flesh, but to our soul. There's so many good things you can do, but let us not underestimate these things. You may swallow them. Maybe it's not involving sin. Is it a sin to go to work? No, the Lord even says we should work. But if I nourish myself by it, feed myself with work, and I give myself so much to work, and that this is what feeds my soul, and then you have to be careful, because then maybe it's this bread stew that will rob you of your birthright. There's so many things in this world. And each one of us can ask, what is this bowl of soup for me? And he hates, and I hate Esau and Edom, and I don't want to swallow any of this. I want to have the blessing of the Lord. I want to wrestle with the Lord. And I want to turn from Jacob to Israel. And all the things that the Lord does to deal with us cannot be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. So may the Lord turn our hearts, that he would really touch our hearts and that we would love him, so that he can make all of us to Israel and that we would be able to receive the blessing.